This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, December 7th, 2025. Imagine. Promises and prophecies fulfilled.
Let us thank the Lord, the God of Israel. God has come to help his people and has given them freedom. God has given us a powerful Savior from the family of God's servant David. God said he would do this. He said it through his holy prophets who lived long ago. God will save us from our enemies and from the power of those who hate us. With the loving mercy of our God, a new day from heaven will shine upon us. God will help those who live in darkness, in fear of death. He will guide us into the path that goes toward peace.
Imagine Christmas. What do you envision? What do you feel? Most of the time we dwell on the fun stuff, and that's great. I love Christmas. I'm married to someone who really, really loves Christmas. It's great. Ask her how many trees she has this year. But holidays come with a wide range of emotions and experiences, don't they? None more than Christmas. Maybe you were imagining the magical family Christmas dinner. Maybe you were thinking of the ornaments on the tree from all those family vacations. Maybe you're thinking of the icicle lights that hang from the roof. Or the perfect presents that you skillfully interrogated your family members for at Thanksgiving to make sure you got just the right one. You might be imagining all that kind of stuff. But you might also be thinking of the strained family relationship that you're forced to confront every Christmas. The empty seat at the table and the grief that gets amplified during the holidays. You might be thinking of the financial strain that leads you into that pressure and that comparison this time of year. You might be thinking of the melancholy of Christmases long gone by that you wish you could relive. Sometimes people just get sad with the changing of the seasons. You know, it gets dark, it gets cold. People have struggles with that. Sometimes we're just trying to keep up with the pace of the world and the craziness of it. You know, I think when some people imagine Christmas, they think of the craziness of normal life, but more. More busyness, more stress, more bills, more expectations and family dynamics and pressures, yeah? Happy holidays! Are we really happy, or is Amazon just trying to get us to buy more stuff? If any of this resonates with you, even a little bit, then I want to invite you to imagine something else this morning. Imagine this Christmas was different. Imagine this Christmas was different. Imagine moving through this season in a way that you never have before. Taking the crazy out of Christmas, putting the holy back in holidays. Holy holidays. What if every decoration, every tradition, every celebration that we love, what if it pointed you to and helped you to re-enchant your imagination? To appreciate the sacredness of ordinary life. What if it was about reorienting us to the reality of heaven in our midst. Retuning our hearts to beat in time with God's heart. What if it was about rerouting our lives in God's unshakable kingdom and His great story? What if it was about that? That's actually what Advent is supposed to be. That's what Advent is supposed to be. You know, Advent is something that Christians have observed since the early centuries of the church. For a long time, Christians have been having this rhythm to their year in these seasons, these church seasons. Advent comes from a Latin word, adventus, which means arrival. Maybe you've heard that before. It just means arrival. Most of us today think of Advent as just like a countdown to Christmas. I get that. I remember being a kid, and it's just like, 20 days till Christmas, 15 days till Christmas, and like that's all that Advent was about. But it's so much more. Let me tell you two things that if you haven't heard them before will completely change your perspective of this whole season. Number one, Advent is meant to be to Christmas what Lent is to Easter. You ever think about that? It's a season of preparation. Advent is meant to be this slowing down time of reflection, repentance, fasting, preparation that gets us ready for the feast of Christmas. Some people even call Advent Little Lent. Lent's 40 days, Advent's a little shorter, but it's the same type of posture of preparation. Second, you probably are aware of this, but we got to remind ourselves of this every Christmas. Advent isn't about just remembering the first coming of Jesus' birth. It's not just about his first arrival. Advent is about preparing for and anticipating for his second coming. It's about his coming arrival. Advent is about pointing us forward as well to get ready that he's going to come back. Came once, he's coming again. Christians are invited to launch into every new year with a heart-searching season of asking, am I ready for Jesus to return? That's powerful. It's powerful. If you really think about that, it's definitely going to make you want to fast and pray and repent. Am I ready? But that doesn't mean it's a sad season. It's actually just the opposite. When you understand what the return of Jesus means, that is the end of all things broken and the beginning of all things made new, then that is absolutely going to lead you to immense hope and peace and joy and love, even if your life is in a time of darkness. Imagine if this Christmas your soul slowed down and your life was marked by rhythms of grace. And to do that, we're going to have to remember. We're going to have to imagine, you know, where all this began. We're going to have to re-remember what this is all about by looking at God's Word. And that's what we're going to do this whole Christmas season together at Connection. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke and all the Christmas stories that he has at the beginning of that gospel. And we're going to be imagining what all that was like to recenter on this stuff so that this Christmas is different. And so today we're looking at the very beginning when so many prayers and prophecies were fulfilled in this amazing moment of history. We're going to open up to Luke chapter 1 today. Verses 1 to 25, you can follow along with us. We're looking at that whole section together. And as we get ready for that, let's just take a moment now that we kind of have our foundation for this season, let's just pause, let's pray and prepare to get into God's holy word. Lord God Almighty, we give you this time. Lord, this is all about you. God, in this time when life is so full of distractions and our human hearts are so prone to wander, catch our hearts, God. Get our focus back on you. And Lord, use your living word today to just refocus us on why we're here and who you are and all you've done, God. And as we do that, may we be filled with great hope and joy and peace and love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1. Imagine, we're going to use that word a lot, imagine the time before Christ arrived. Imagine the world without Christ. Our Old Testament ends with the book of Malachi, the prophet. He was preparing the people for the day of the Lord. A lot of the Old Testament prophets talked about this coming day of the Lord, when the Lord was going to come and clean house and make things right. And Malachi closes the Old Testament. You can go read it right now. The last verses of the last book of the Old Testament close with this prediction that there's going to come a figure like the great prophet Elijah. Remember Elijah, Mount Carmel, and the fire coming down from heaven and all that crazy stuff. He was a huge figure for the Old Testament, for the people of Israel. And Malachi said, someone like Elijah is going to come before the great day of the Lord, before the Lord comes, and he's going to prepare the way. He's going to prepare the people for God to come. And then the book ends. And then there was silence for the people of Israel. About 400 years. This time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, maybe you've heard about it. The prophecies grew quiet. Messengers from heaven stopped showing up, and God's people just waited. Meanwhile, the world was very noisy. Israel endured during these 400 years the violent shifting of these major empires on the world stage. This tiny little nation, and all around them over these 400 years, from Babylon to Persia, to Greece, and then to Rome, these huge shifts happening and all these consequences upon this little nation of Israel that they had to go through. And during this time, many would-be messiahs rose up to fight off their oppressors, and they all failed. And the waiting wore on. The whisper became a hush, and the hush became a groan. And like their ancestors in Egypt, they groaned for deliverance. God had promised that a Savior would come. But how long can you wait for a promise to be fulfilled before the waiting becomes forgetting? This is the environment in which heaven finally broke the silence, where Luke's story begins. And Luke begins the story of Jesus' arrival with a faithful husband and wife, not Mary and Joseph, but a lesser known couple that prepares the way. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Elizabeth and Zechariah, a faithful, godly couple. They'd done everything right. And yet their lives were marked by sorrow. They never could have children as their hearts desired, and now they were very old. Still, they did their duty, and they served God faithfully. Zechariah was a priest, and he was chosen to fulfill his priestly role in the temple. There were many, many priests throughout the land, and there was a system of taking times periodically through the year where they would go for a week from wherever they lived. They would spend a week in Jerusalem at the temple, and they would cast lots to see what role you would have. And there were some special roles that maybe only once in a lifetime, if ever, a priest could be chosen to do, and this was Zechariah's turn. Here in his old age, after all these years of serving, he had this privilege to go into the holy sanctuary and burn incense before the Lord during the daily hour of prayer. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him. It's a very special day, but he could have never imagined what was going to happen next. Then, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now, this is supposed to be, I mean, kind of a routine religious ritual. They do the same thing routinely, and the priest goes in by himself to burn the incense. People wait outside, they're praying. It's pretty quick, and then he's back out, and they give the blessing to the people, and that is not what happens in worship today. The whole plan is thrown off because a messenger from heaven shows up. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. You are to call him John. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah." Remember how Malachi ended? "To turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That's a lot to take in. If you look throughout the Bible, when angels show up to people, almost every time, they have to lead off with, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. Because if a messenger from the unseen realm becomes visible to us, a servant of heaven who stands in the presence of the Most High God, a warrior of light, just shows up, you're going to be terrified. And you're not going to be ready for it. But in this story, the biggest surprise is not just the fact that he encounters this angel, this messenger from God, but it's the message that Gabriel brings him. He tells Zechariah, after they've probably long forgotten prayers for children at this point, and he says that they're going to become parents in their old age. And this child isn't just going to be anyone. He's going to be the one that Malachi and Isaiah predicted. The one who was going to come to prepare the way of the Lord was going to be Zechariah's son. We're talking about John the Baptist. This is his origin story. Now, Zechariah is a godly man, but he can't bring himself to believe in this moment. His response to the angel is, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? We're very old, he says. And I mean, he really should have known better. This is a priest talking. He knows all the stories of Israel. He knows about Abraham and Sarah and all the things that God can do. But when this messenger from heaven shows up to bring good news, Zechariah finds it too good to be true. Now, he'd waited so long, maybe he started to forget. Then the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and unable to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Gabriel's not having any of it. He's like, "Oh, really? You want a sign? You want to know how you can be sure? I'll give you a sign. You're not going to be able to speak another word until this word that I've given you comes to pass. That's how you're going to know, O priest of Israel." Now, maybe there are some wives here who would really appreciate 9 months where your husband couldn't talk, especially while you're pregnant. But I digress. Let's see how Zechariah's wife responds to all of this. Sorry, husbands, I'm with you. After this, Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is such a sensitive thing for people of any time. I know it's close to home for so many in this room in so many different ways. And you may feel alone in that if you've gone through something like this, or if you are going through it. You may feel unseen, but you are seen and you are loved. In Elizabeth's time, the time that Elizabeth and Zechariah lived in, many unfortunately believed that childlessness was a sign that God had not given his favor and that you'd done something wrong. This was a painful and dangerous plight for people living in this time because children were the only social security you had in old age in this time. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth were just getting a sense of their story. They lived with this sense of fear and a sense of disgrace, even while they were living out faithfully the ways of God. When our prayers seem unanswered and when our longings go unmet, it's so easy to assume, I must have done something wrong. And sometimes we do make choices that have consequences. But sometimes we're just dealing with the hardships that come in a fallen world where things are not as they should be. And we have a choice in every disappointment to give in to despair or to keep choosing God. The God who always is telling a bigger story. Sometimes he surprises us when we're not expecting it, too. God surprised Elizabeth and Zechariah with this incredible role they'd been chosen for, to be the parents of the forerunner of the Messiah. Zechariah couldn't speak. Elizabeth went into seclusion. They went into this season of silence and solitude. They waited quietly for God's promise to be birthed. Silence, solitude, waiting. These are good words for Advent. This is a good story for Advent. Elizabeth and Zechariah waited throughout their lives with longing, with pain, with weariness, and yet in faithfulness. And then after it seemed like their hope was over, God showed up and God moved. Their waiting was a lot like the waiting of all of Israel. Those 400 years of silence with weariness, with pain, wondering if their hope was in vain. And then God showed up and God moved. Elizabeth and Zechariah discovered something incredible. They discovered that God had not answered their prayers in the way or the time they'd hoped, because God's plans for them were actually bigger than the plans they had for themselves. The answer to their long-forgotten prayer turned out to be part of the fulfillment of the prophecies that God's people had been waiting on for centuries. When we get disappointed, when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want him to and the timing we want him to, when God doesn't give us the desire of our hearts the way we want him to, sometimes it's because his plans for our lives are bigger than the plan we have for ourselves. Sometimes it's because the answer to your prayers is going to be a part of the answer to someone else's prayer that's waiting on God too. Sometimes it's because he wants to use your story, even in your hardship, to bring about a greater blessing than if it just happened the way you thought it should. That's hard. That comes with a sense of sacrifice. It comes with waiting and wrestling. But in the end, it's a much greater story than what we would often think of just for ourselves. Advent reminds us that with God, waiting is never wasted. With God, waiting is never wasted. Because our God is a redeemer, and our God is a promise keeper. I remember going through seasons in my life where I wondered if God would answer my prayers the way I thought he should. I wondered if he would give me the desires of my heart based on what I wanted. And it was like he was bringing me to a choice. And would I trust him if he didn't give me what I was asking for? Would I trust that his way was going to be better? That's the test of faith. He will bring us through times like that, where we don't know the outcomes and what they're going to be, or they're not what we're hoping for, and yet he is absolutely working through your story in times like that in a profound way. Advent needs to be a time where we remember that there's value in that waiting, in that trusting, and that God is good. Let's really quickly finish Zechariah's story. Do you know what happened when he finally got his voice back? When they named the baby John, his voice came back. And the first thing that came out of his mouth was worship. You can read about it at the end of chapter 1 of Luke. He starts praising God. And here's a little part of his song as it ends. I love this scripture. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Those are Advent words right there. We're living in the light of that dawn. We're living today in the light of Christ. And so just imagine, as we step into this holy season, imagine all that we're going to experience if we can just wait on God's promises. Imagine all God's going to do in this life and even more in the life to come. Just imagine. Let's make this Christmas different. Let's take time every day to imagine God's promises fulfilled. And let's share that hope with people around us. Let the Spirit lead you to share that hope this Advent, this Christmas season. And what better way to launch into this season than coming to the Lord's table, coming to celebrate communion. We are going to finish our worship today, as we always do on the first Sunday, by coming to the Lord's table. And guys, this is where we see the fulfillment of God's promise to redeem his people. This is where we remember. This is where we prepare for Jesus to return. So come to this table this morning and just imagine all the promises that had been fulfilled to bring us to this table so we could be here today. And imagine all that's going to come in the life to come when there's the great feast of God's kingdom. This is a foretaste of that. Just imagine. Let's pray and get ready to come to this feast together.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.